The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me start you out with a story here this evening. Probably the single most influential person in my entire life was Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I remember when I was a fifth grader, once upon a long time ago in religion class, our teacher decided not to teach the ordinary religion class, but instead to show us a movie about the life of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and I was absolutely amazed. I'd never in all my life seen anyone so utterly consumed with the love of God and with the love of other people. And until that moment, I was a skeptic about my faith. But when I saw Mother Teresa, I realized whatever it is she believes is true. Planted a seed in my life that gave birth to the faith that was still living today. And that's why I say she's the most influential person in my entire life. Now, Mother Teresa died in 1997. And unless you lived through the years in which she was alive, it's very hard to try to communicate just how universally admired she was. Honored by presidents and popes, honored both by religious and secular authorities for her untiring, selfless work among the poorest people in the entire world, especially in the subcontinent of India, winner of the Nobel Prize. But did you know that if not for the work of one man, nobody would ever have heard of the name Mother Teresa of Calcutta? The man's name was Malcolm Muggeridge. Perhaps you've heard of him. He was a renowned television and radio personality, an investigative reporter, a journalist for the BBC, who, in 1968, happened to be traveling through India when he heard about this diminutive Catholic nun, barely 5 feet tall, only when she stood up straight, usually hunched over, somewhere between 4'8" and 4'10", who was doing this astonishing work among the most desperately poor people in the entire world. And he decided, you know, maybe it was worth a story. And so he went to her home for dying destitutes in Calcutta to film a documentary. And they all was set to begin filming when suddenly the power grid in the city of Calcutta failed and all the lights went out. And the cameraman said, well, there's no point in trying to film. There's not enough light to try to capture any image, we might as well pack it all up and go home. But Malcolm Muggeridge said, you know, we've come this far, let's just shoot what film we can and make the best of whatever turns out. And when it came time to develop the film, they were astonished to discover that every scene was perfectly lit, and even more astonished to discover that the light illuminating each scene was coming from Mother Teresa herself. Malcolm Muggeridge was a hardened agnostic, as most journalists are. A skeptic to the marrow of his bones and an enemy of religion. But he became a Christian and a Catholic and a devout Catholic because of the example of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And the most amazing thing about all this is if you asked Mother Teresa herself why she made such a splash, you know, and people paid so much attention and she gained so much notoriety, she would say, "It was entirely because I listened to the voice of God. That's it. There's nothing special about me. I have no particular money. I have no particular connections. I have no particular skills or abilities. I have no particular special impressive appearance. But I can say this. I listened to the voice of Jesus and I have never said no to him." I wish I could say those same words. But therein lies her power. And if there's one message that I would give you from our readings for the day, it's this. The greatest power in the world lies in your response to the voice of God. Even if nobody ever hears your story, which is why I told the Malcolm Muggeridge story, right? Even if nobody ever knows your name, doesn't matter. The same amount of work, of good work, gets done beyond your wildest imaginings. And I know you can imagine quite a bit, but I do not exaggerate, not even by one word. A priest in our diocese, whose name I will not mention, I'll save his privacy for his own sake, had a chance to speak with Mother Teresa of Calcutta for 15 minutes. He was going through a very, very dark hour in his life, and this extraordinary opportunity for him to speak to Mother Teresa arose. And he turned to her for counsel and advice. And she simply said, "Listen to the voice of Jesus, and no matter how difficult it is, do not ever say no to Jesus. That makes all the difference. Look at me, Father," she said. He said, "Yes, Mother." She said, "I am poor." He said, "Yes, Mother." "I am old." He said, "Yes, Mother." "I am ugly." He said, "Whatever you say, Mother." "And look at what God has been able to do through me." Listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Even wherever you are in your life right now, has the power to do more good than you can imagine. That's the story of our readings today. Our first reading does not make sense unless you understand the context of our first reading. So the context of our first reading is last week's first reading. Does anybody remember last week's first reading? Don't all raise your hands at once, okay? But last week's first reading was the story of Adam and Eve and the fall from grace, the original sin in the Garden of Eden, where they heard two voices. The good voice of God and the voice of the evil spirit represented in the serpent. And as you know, not only did they choose badly, they chose very badly. And if you know your Bible, you know that from that moment onward, from the fall from grace in the Garden of Eden, events in the Bible go from bad to very bad to very, very bad. And the next story that occurs in the Bible is the story of Cain and Abel. The first murder recorded in the scriptures, a story of hatred, envy, and fratricide. From there, things get even worse. The next story is the story of Noah and the great flood, in which the sins have multiplied across the face of the earth in such degree that God thinks that the very best thing to do is just wipe clean the slate. And the flood encompasses the entire earth, but does that wipe clean the slate? No. Because sin multiplies even further. And the next story that occurs is the story of the Tower of Babel, where man, in his arrogance, tries to create heaven on earth by the work of his own hands, building a tower up to the heavens. And after which the sin of the earth multiplies and multiplies to such a degree that the scriptures say that man began to believe that God's creation was evil, not good. How bad things have become. And that is when God raises up a most unlikely hero, Abram, later known as Abraham, and this is where your first reading begins. One of the most consequential stories in the Bible. Why did God choose Abraham? Nobody knows. He had no money. He had no connections. He had no wealth. He had no particular skills and abilities. But God, in his wisdom and his providence, knew that Abraham was the man to call. And the most, one of the most consequential lines in all the scriptures was the first line of your first reading. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." He listened and obeyed. And the difference that he made cannot be exaggerated. From that moment forward, God's plan of redemption began to reverse the ancient curse, because from Abraham came Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel and Moses and David and Elijah and the prophets, and it led to Christ himself. And it makes my head spin to think what might have happened if Abraham had said no. But it reinforces the lesson that our readings try to tell us today. Very simply, listen to the voice of the Lord and say yes. It will cause more good than you can possibly imagine. It's the story of our gospel today. Every year on the second Sunday of Lent, we hear the mysterious story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up onto the top of a high mountain, and there he's transfigured before them in glory, standing between Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets. And I say this is not a miracle of Christ. It is rather the temporary cessation of a miracle, the real miracle being that Jesus, God came down to earth, was able to live all those years in complete obscurity, appearing as the son of an ordinary carpenter. For one moment only, for one brief shining moment, he shows Peter, James, and John who he really is. Now, there's a lot of homilies in this gospel. I'm not going to talk about them all. But when they came down the mountain, the other apostles were jealous. What's so special about Peter, James, and John? Why'd you show yourself to them? Why not to me? Why are you playing favorites? God, in his perfect providence, knows exactly what each person needs. Very often we look at one another and we get jealous and we get angry at God. And we say, "Hey God, why him and not me?" And we need to remember, God in his perfect providence knows exactly what each person needs. And every time you're given a blessing, are you aware that you're also given a mission? The more blessings you're given, the more responsibilities you're given. Peter, James, and John needed to see Jesus like this in a way all the other apostles didn't, because they would be the leaders of the ancient church. And in the span of just a few days, they would climb to the top of another mountain. Not the mountain of the Transfiguration, but the mountain of Calvary, where they would see Christ the Lord not clothed in glory, but drenched in blood, flanked not by glorious Moses and Elijah and the choirs of angels, but by two common thieves and the jeers of his worst enemies. They would need this vision to carry out the good that God intended them to carry out. The most important line in the entire Transfiguration story is the voice of the Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." One of only three times in the entire Bible you hear directly from the voice of the Father. And the Father's message to them is his message to us. Do you believe that the same God who was on the job in the days of Abraham, in the days of Peter and James and John, is still on the job today? Do you believe that no matter who you are, or how little you think you may have to offer, you say, "I'm not anybody, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have any particular skills or abilities, and God can't use me"? No. Please believe me. The only thing needed for God to unleash the greatest power in the universe is for you to listen to his voice and to say yes. It will not be easy. 11 out of 12 apostles died martyrs' deaths. It's why St. Paul says to Timothy in the second reading, "Bear your share of hardship for the sake of the gospel." Of course it's not easy. If it was easy, we'd all be saints. It wasn't easy for Abraham. You know, he was 75 years old. It's one of my favorite points to mention in Abraham. He was looking forward to the gentle autumn years of his life. And God suddenly says, get up and go. And Abraham says, no thanks, I've got my home. You know, I've got my potted plants set exactly the way I want. I've got my pictures in my room just so. God says, leave it all behind and go. And the easiest thing in the world would for Abraham would have been to say, no thank you, God. But he listened and he said yes. It wasn't easy for Mother Teresa either. Did you know that before Mother Teresa of Calcutta became the famous servant of the poor in the gutters of the poorest cities in the world, she was an elite teacher at a private school for wealthy girls, a very comfortable life. And when she heard the voice of Christ speaking in her heart, she left everything behind and went into the streets alone. Nobody joined her. Never saw her family again. Of course it's difficult. If it was easy, we'd all be saints. But can I ask you to believe, here in this Lenten season, that your response to God is absolutely essential. It makes my head spin to think what happens, what is lost, when someone says no to God. Whoever you are, God has a habit of taking a nobody and turning him into a somebody in the presence of everybody without asking permission from anybody. Right? And he can do it for you too. That's why I'm so fond of saying that, especially now in the Lenten season, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.